Patriots fans, we know the coaching staff might be on the hot seat in New England, but could head coach Bill Belichick be on the hot seat? We'll be talking about that and much more today. Stay tuned. You're about to be locked in to the Locked On Patriots podcast.
You are Locked On Patriots, your daily New England Patriots podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all of you Foxborough faithful, and thank you once again for making Locked On Patriots a daily part of your New England Patriots coverage and also your first listen every day. Remember, Locked On Patriots is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. So smash that subscribe button, download, subscribe to, and follow Locked On Patriots wherever you get your audio podcasts. And of course, today's episode is brought to you by our good friends at Bet Online. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, more odds, and more lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. Pats fans, it is enthralled in week 14 right now. The New England Patriots are making their preparations for a Monday night matchup with the Arizona Cardinals in Glendale, Arizona at 8:15 p.m. on Monday night. But before the Patriots are able to move on to the Cardinals, they've got some sorting out to do in their own locker room. And interesting tidbits coming from the Patriots camp this week regarding the coaching staff. And we're going to talk about all this today and more because here joining us on this Wednesday episode, as she does each and every midweek here on Locked On Patriots, is the calming voice that we all need during the midweek. She is a columnist extraordinaire for PatsPropaganda.com, as well as the host of her very own Patriots podcast on Full Press Coverage Patriots, A Claire Perspective, which, folks, if you haven't subscribed to it already, please, I implore you to do so. You won't be disappointed. You will be well-informed, well-entertained, and just one of the best listens that you'll find anywhere out there. She is the illustrious Countess of Klaz herself, Miss Claire, Klazzy Claire Cooper. Claire, thanks so much for joining me today from across the pond.
You're more than welcome, as always, Mike. I mean, as you said, it's Wednesday. Where else would I be?
Absolutely.
It's like written in blood in the diary now. Everything got a bit drastic, actually. No, it's written in stone, shall we say, written in stone.
Yeah, exactly. We'll take it down a little notch here just to take the morbidity out of what you just said. I don't even know if morbidity is a word, but you know what, folks? We're going on our own schedule. We're going on our own situation here today. All kidding aside, my friend, thank you very much for lending your wisdom and counsel on Wednesdays, each and every Wednesday. And we always love to absorb that here. And folks, if you're in the mood for a little clairvoyance, don't worry. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But Claire, before we take our leave of the Buffalo Bills and move on to the Arizona Cardinals, a lot of Patriots fans still have a bitter taste in their mouth about what they saw last Thursday. Obviously, a subpar performance in all three phases, if you really want to think about it. Sole bright spot. Well, I shouldn't say sole bright spot. Two bright spots that stood out to me. Marcus Jones, obviously, very good game. You know, the touchdown. Josh Uche on the defensive side of the ball really made some strides. But before we move on here, we know that you have done extensive work in looking, you know, in the background of what happened in this game and whatnot. What are your takeaways from Thursday night's loss to the Buffalo Bills, your reaction to it, and what you think it means moving forward for the Pats?
I think for probably like a lot of fans, I'm probably could speak for a lot of fans when I say that I was kind of gutted for the loss naturally, but also not shocked. Because it's just, it feels like the Bills right now, we're in a different league. It's just, you're watching a different kind of, you're almost watching a different type of game, really, when you watch the likes of the, you know, the Buffalo Bills, Kansas Chiefs, that sort of thing. So it was always going to be that difficult if they were going to bring it out. Now, when, you know, the Vikings game and stuff was close and things like this, so there was these elements, these little sparks of, they might be able to pull something out of the bag. You know, it's a home game. They might just be able to push, you know, Allen into some impatience. You know, can they really exploit any of the significant weaknesses in the Bills? Because, you know, divisional matchup, that kind of thing. And I think I actually written in my pregame recap, and the answer is no. They couldn't really, and they couldn't really answer for anything, like you said, on all three phases of the ball. There was that little bit of element of sort of mid, I think it was the towards the mid of the first quarter when Marcus Jones scored the touchdown, that you saw this element of, oh, maybe, oh, is it, could they, maybe they could pull it out, maybe it could be a bit close. Hopes were up, and then hopes went down, and they scored again, and the Bills scored again, and the Bills scored again, and it was like, it was unfortunate. When I look back, because obviously it was Thursday Night Football, so it feels like it was a long time ago, that kind of thing. When I looked back on some of the numbers, just to refresh my memory about sort of the misery that that we had to suffer as Patriots fans, one thing I found really interesting, because the Patriots' defense has been, to sort of quote you, with the one bright spark on the Patriots, it has been the defense recently. But they didn't really kind of bring it to fruition against the Bills, unfortunately. But when you look at the numbers, now I know that we always say about the eyeball test over the numbers, and I'm still all for that. To me, the numbers is sort of only one element of what you've got. It doesn't give you a full picture. But looking at the numbers, I was actually quite surprised when I kind of refreshed my memory today in regards to what the defense did actually do numbers wise, because Buffalo had 33 tackles, which was 40, and they had 44 combined. So that's what the Buffalo defense brought to the table. Right. The Patriots defense had 44 tackles and 71 combined. And it's like, when you look at those numbers, you'd say, wow, the Patriots defense really sort of outplayed the Buffalo defense. I mean, the eyeball test, not significantly. So that's why we always say you can't go on one thing alone. You have to look at it as the full picture. But it is disappointing, because the defense is who we sort of know are capable. And yeah, they had a not very good game against Buffalo and stuff like that, and that's unfortunate, and they need to pull their socks up with that. But what we've seen through this season is the Patriots do have good defensive players. They do have a good defensive system, and it can work well. The unfortunate thing is it misfires sometimes, and then because the offense is quite weak, and we know this, I'm not kind of being detrimental when I say this. It's out there. We know that the offense has got some severe weaknesses at the moment. When the defense can't really bring it to its level, it just really highlights the lack that we've got, that the Patriots have got on the offense. So because of that, you can't really combine it to be very significant at the moment. And that's why the Bills completely shut them down. Sorry, I'm too much of a fan. I always say we, and I know everybody hates it, and I try not to, so I do apologise. But yeah, so long story short, yeah, gutted, not surprised, like everybody else. I still think there's some hope there because of the defence, because we know what the defence can do. The fact that they didn't do it against Buffalo is really disappointing, because it's a team that they needed to, because it's a divisional matchup. They needed to really outplay the Bills there, and although the stat sheet says that they did, the eyeball test said that they didn't. So it's quite disappointing to be at this stage and be past Thanksgiving and this, that, and the other, that when football really starts. So it's tricky being a Patriots fan at the moment, but there's still little tiny bits of hope, maybe, sort of, kind of ish.
Yeah, I think you summed it up. No, I do. I think you summed it up very well. Usually at this time, I'm usually writing my annual column about winter coming, using the Game of Thrones analogies and saying, okay, now it's time for Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots to make that leap. You don't get quite that vibe with this team this year. I mean, I think they're still trying to find their identity. And look, a lot of their deficiencies were exposed by the Buffalo Bills. And maybe I'm being a homer here. I know a lot of people may call me out for that, but I think a lot of what we saw from the Patriots was really more about the Bills' ability to counter whatever the Patriots were doing, as opposed to the Patriots being a futile team. There is talent on both sides of the ball. I know a lot of fans don't see it right now. And believe me, I get it. I understand. It's tough to sit there and to watch a team that you love, you root for, you invest yourself in every single week, consistently make the same mistakes. It's frustrating. Yeah. I do get it. But you have to take under account that when you see, oh, well, they couldn't get any pressure on Josh Allen. That's not entirely accurate. They did try to get pressure on Josh Allen. They use the fire zone blitz. They get that five-man rush where the other defenders are starting to creep up into coverage. Normally, that's the best way to control someone like Allen, who's very comfortable rolling out of the pocket, making things happen. You can make the argument he's better out of the pocket than he is in the pocket. But yeah. Josh did a really, really great job of understanding that the Patriots were going to use that five-man rush. And he threw to where he anticipated the coverage not being, either a split second too early or a split second too late. And in that regard, it's a good thing that he was either early or late, because it hit his receivers in stride and it allowed him to neutralize it. So that's one of the big reasons why, folks, Josh Allen had so much success against the New England Patriots on Thursday night. On the offensive side of the ball, you hit the nail right on the head. They continue to be futile in the red zone, and they continue to be futile on third down. You talked about the anticipation. Hopes are rising. Everything's going along, and all of a sudden, it stops. It stops yeah. because of the difficulty that Mac Jones is having finding his receivers in the red zone. He was pressured on 39.5% of his dropbacks. That has to change. I know the Patriots have their problems along the offensive line, but if they expect their quarterback to be able to make any type of headway, they need, absolutely need to give him better protection. And bottom line, they need to give him more than 3.15 seconds to make a throw. That's a little better than what we saw a couple of weeks ago, where he was almost down to 2%, almost, excuse me, 2 seconds to be able yeah. to make those throws. That's pathetic. But 3.15 is not all that much time either on average. So a lot was exposed with the New England Patriots, and a lot of the fingers, Claire, are being pointed at the coaching staff. That's right, folks. The coaching staff coming under a lot of fire for the New England Patriots' difficulties lately. We know Matt Patricia and Joe Judge are getting a lot of dirt thrown their way, but how about head coach Bill Belichick? Well, one of the leading beat reporters in the nation right now seems to think that Bill Belichick could be in the crosshairs if things don't change quickly. Claire and I are going to discuss that in just a moment when this episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast continues. But first, Claire, it's the holiday season. One of the great things about the holiday season is getting around, visiting, going places, you know, getting out, shopping, whatever you need to do. Sometimes automobile issues can be a problem, or sometimes you just want to change things up a little bit and you want a little bit of a different ride for your Christmas party. If that's the case, folks, please check out our friends over at Turo, the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. Browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the US, UK, Canada, and Australia. Book a spacious SUV or minivan for a family road trip, or you can get that classic or luxury car for a special event, birthday, or holiday party. You can find an affordable economy car if you're on a budget and you just need to get from point A to point B. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms and conditions and exclusions apply. Find your drive at Turo.com. Patriots fans, it's Wednesday, and that means a visit from the illustrious Countess of Klaz herself, columnist extraordinaire, podcast host extraordinaire of Pat's Propaganda and Full Press Coverage Patriots, respectively. The lovely Claire, Classy Claire Cooper, joins me here on this Wednesday episode. Claire, we talked a little bit about the Buffalo Bills and the difficulties that the New England Patriots had. I think we're ready to put that behind us finally and move on, because the Patriots do have a game coming up this week on Monday Night Football against the Arizona Cardinals. Well, we're not quite ready to go there yet either, because there's this middle area right now that the Patriots are stuck in, and that is, let's blame the coaches for everything that's going on in the world. Again, I understand the frustration, and I'm not blaming anybody for feeling the way they feel about the coaching staff right now. So let's get that right out there. But when you look at this team realistically and what they've had to go through, injuries, changing of the guard when it comes to some beloved coaches that are no longer here, Josh McDaniels, and you look at what has happened to the team as a result in terms of changing their offensive play style. Yeah, I'm zeroing in on the offensive coaching staff, folks, because the defense, for the most part, other than a sputter last week, has been pretty solid. So when you look at this offensive coaching staff right now, Claire, you've got Matt Patricia and Joe Judge clearly being, I don't want to say the punching bag, but they're getting an awful lot of vitriol throwing their way. And you can understand why fans are frustrated there. But Peter King of NBC Sports, who is one of the more renowned sports writers in the country, recently reported that he felt that the Patriots head coach, Bill Belichick, might be on the hot seat at the close of this season into 2023 if things don't change or turn around very quickly, or if they choose not to make any changes on the coaching staff and there's a little bit of a standoff between he and team owner Robert Kraft. Again, this is speculation. Peter is not reporting this verbatim. He's saying this is his opinion and how he feels and what he's reading into the situation. But it raises an interesting question. If the Patriots finish with, dare we say, a losing record, and it's possible at 6-6, if they're not able to win a couple of games here and keep things respectable, this could get ugly in a hurry. And especially for the fan base, you're talking two losing seasons in 3 years since Tom Brady's departure. That's going to get the fan base restless, but it's going to get the ownership restless too, who do not like to lose. I can tell you that right now, and covering this team now for the past 6 years, the Crafts do not like coming in second, third, or fourth place. They want to be on top. They want to be where they are for a reason. So when you look at this situation, Claire, do you read any credence into the rumors that are circulating right now that Bill Belichick could be on the hot seat?
Well, firstly, like you said, it's rumor, it's speculation, it's hearsay. So that's one thing to sort of take into consideration. The second thing is, really, my answer is no. Bill Belichick, he's got this, what he has behind him, that kind of thing. It feels like it's too much. Now, the one point is, I mean, we never really know what is going on inside, you know, behind the scenes. I mean, information wise, take for example, I know we're talking Patriots, but take for example the Titans at the moment. They have just fired their GM John Robinson. Mm-hmm. Now I've heard sort of bits and pieces in podcasts and in regards to the fan base that this is all a great puzzlement. He had a contract extension, that kind of thing. Now I know there's a lot in regard to the wide receiver in AJ Brown kind of being released, that sort of thing. But there's nothing really significant there for them to kind of hold on to sort of understand why this guy has been fired. He has got a winning record during his tenure. Mm-hmm. Now, switch it over to the Patriots. We can never really be certain what is going on behind the scenes, what is being said between Kraft and Belichick. The Titans thing itself actually made me sort of think about how, in regards to the Bill Belichick situation with him being GM and being coach, and how I know that there's a lot of flack from fans in regards to that they think GM Bill, you know, isn't so great, and coach Bill, that the conflict and things. The one thing that this Titans thing popping up really made me think about is how I think it's quite clever that he's done it that way. Although I know that the success has been questioned in regards to him being a GM, but there's always this big, there seems to be, should I say, such a conflict between the GM and the coach that it gets in the way of like team stuff. And when you've got the same guy doing those two jobs, he's only got to fight with himself in regards to that. So that coming up, I know this is slightly going off on a tangent, but that coming up made me sort of think about how Bill, being that football smart that he is, sort of denying the need for that extra body and that extra conflict that it could create. Now, flipping it over to sort of what is going on now in regards to Patricia and that kind of thing. The one thing that Bill has made difficult for himself is he has restricted the well from which he can take these individuals in regards to coaching, because he likes his guys, as people like to say. He's sort of very much keeping it in the individuals that know the Patriots way. And I know that we talked about this yesterday on One Patriots Place with Steve Balistrieri, and as you were kindly guesting over there. I know that we talked about, and I mentioned it, this conspiracy theory of thinking that maybe utilizing Patricia was because of the trust factor that Bill has there with him, and maybe they're looking at nursing the team through this season because they've got their sights on, maybe, for example, as we chatted about, Bill O'Brien for the future. The one thing that I sort of thought about when you were kind of talking about this is people are blaming, or are ready to blame Bill, are ready to put him on the hot seat. Don't forget, he's outwardly said to everyone, the book stops with me. I am the guy making the decisions. I'm the one responsible. So it's obvious that people are going to be pointing the finger at him and saying that, you know, he's in the hot seat because he's taken the responsibility on himself, which a good leader is going to do. So that just makes it just makes me give him that little bit more respect. Now, yeah, there's the side of me that is the Patriots fan that is so frustrated of this weird defensive kind of being your offensive guy, and he's got dual responsibilities, and you've got Joe Judge in there, so quite what's he doing, and Matt Patricia seems to be doing it just looks a mess. And it's unfortunate that as Patriots fans we haven't really been in this situation where we can look into the coaching situation and it looks such a mess. Now, we know that there's always been this issue where he doesn't like to name coordinators and this, that and the other, and we're used to that. That doesn't matter.
Titles, yeah, that was just going to say, that's nothing new.
Yeah, titles, giving someone a title doesn't necessarily make them successful in a position if you give them the right title. So as long as these guys feel the respect, which I'm pretty sure they would do, else they'd all walk anyway, I don't think that really makes that much of a difference. I know it frustrates fans because you just kind of, well, you just want to know what's going on sort of thing. And there's always that element of Bill wanting to play chess while the others are playing checkers or vice versa, that kind of thing. And I guess fans are probably getting a little bit fed up of it right now because it's not working. They're not a success. There's a lot of to sort of complain about. Looking back on the last few years, there has been so much that has had to change within the system. And a lot of it has been out of his hands to a degree. I mean, you lost the greatest of all time quarterback. You had a COVID season. You had a guy come in to help you sign individuals that wasn't going to be the starter. You had a rookie that you drafted 15th overall. And there's so much that's had to happen during that short space of time to make a season like this still inevitable. A rebuild isn't going to take one season. There's too many different factors that go into this whole thing to really be able to do that. And don't forget, Bill's kind of suffering under the greatest of all time quarterback left the system. Mm-hmm. Okay, some people want to blame Bill. I'm a bit on the fence on that one, but each to their own. Then he lost coaching staff that you can't make stay if they don't want to stay. I mean, Josh wanted a head coaching job and he wasn't going to get one in New England, at least in the near future. So he left. So there was no way of really preventing that. Yes, the argument is, well, where was the backup plan? And who knows, maybe Bill was arrogant enough to think he wouldn't need a backup plan. You never really know when it comes to these sorts of things. And that takes me back to the point that I said at the very beginning, is you just don't really know what's going on. It's very easy to judge situations by the small amounts of information that we are privy to. So I'm just kind of not in the situation as of yet to believe that someone is successful and as great football-minded as Bill Belichick, who's obviously got a good relationship with Kraft to have been stayed that long, to suddenly have a couple of bad seasons and be gone. If it was anywhere else, would it really look at that when you look at the history? People don't want to take into consideration the history. Some people do, some people don't, but you can't wipe that out. Also, it can't really reflect on what the future is. So I don't know. I don't personally, me, a Claire perspective, doesn't believe he's in the hot seat. I mean, yeah, people say, well, what do you know? You're not a beat reporter. Of course I'm not. But yeah, from my opinion, I think there's just too much there to just fully drop all the blame at Bill's door and say, that's it. We're writing it off. We're done, kind of thing. There's too many things that have changed over the last couple of years in his control and out of his control to really say that he should be gone already.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely making 100% the point that I plan on making. And I think you're also right on the money when it comes to where the finger is on the pulse of the Patriots and what they need to do with their coaching staff. Look, the one thing I can definitely understand is the frustration with how the assistant coaches have run the offense this year. Maybe a little bit in terms of the general manager and talent evaluation, things of that nature. It hasn't been smooth sailing since Tom Brady left here, and there's no question about that. But the one thing that I don't understand from the Fire Bill camp, and there are people out there that believe that he should be gone, because the game has passed him by. He's not doing what, you know, a younger, more in tune coach is going to do, coming in and being able to revamp this team. Well, my question to you is, who do you want to replace him? Who is going to come in to this situation and know more football than Bill Belichick? The guy forgot more football in his sleep than most of us, myself included, will ever know in their lifetime. And
this is it.
To simply dismiss that and to say, okay, well, 2 years of subpar performance or whatever, when, you know, you take under account the first year being the Cam Newton situation, and I think Cam did the best job he could. I'm not putting that on his shoulders, but there was COVID, there was Tom Brady walking out. The fact that that team finished 7-9 to me is remarkable. I think that is a feather in the cap for Bill Belichick rather than a detriment to him. This season, yeah, there's criticism that is there. He is not infallible, folks. He is not above criticism. He is not above questioning. You can definitely be upset and be, you know, demand that this team be better. And everybody has difficult years and difficult seasons. And I think you're seeing that for Bill this year. But to sit there and say that the team would be better off without him, I'm not at that level yet. And quite frankly, Claire, I don't think I will be at that level anytime soon, simply because I don't think there's any adequate replacement out there that would be able to come into New England and do a better job than what Bill Belichick has done with this team this year. That being said, 50 plus million in available cap space is expected per our good friend Miguel Benzon. They need to put that to good use. The Patriots need to continue to evaluate the draft over the course of the last couple of years the way they had and pick out guys that fit their scheme very well moving forward. The Bill Can't Draft crowd has had a couple of tough years. They've got some guys now that have come in and made a pretty strong impact, and these younger players are rounding into form, so they need to continue that. And lastly, there have to be changes made on the offensive side of the ball when it comes to the coaching staff. And I do believe you will see those. I think you're very much onto something with maybe not overplaying their hand and trying to see what they could do with a makeshift coaching staff this year and maybe make some of those sweeping moves that they want to make next year, simply because 2022 didn't allow them the opportunity to do that. I will say this, there is some criticism that should be launched there, because you're doing it at the expense of a young quarterback that statistically had one of the best rookie seasons from a young signal caller that we've ever seen in the NFL. To say that that regression has hurt him a little bit is where Mac Jones comes in. And I think that's something where they need to take accountability for it and be a little bit more mindful of what that has done. Hopefully they'll be able to move forward and make the right decisions. But again, Claire, I do appreciate your insight on that, because I think you made some excellent points when it comes to Bill, and, you know, points that I think the fan base is definitely, you know, better for hearing. It's always good to hear multiple sides of the story and not just Bill sucks. He can't do this. That's it. The team sucks. You know, they blow, or whatever, you know, whatever you want to hear on terrestrial radio, that's kind of what you're going to get. I think it's always good to have, you know, both perspectives. So thank you for your clear perspective. I appreciate it, Countess.
You are more than welcome. You are more than welcome.
Pats fans, we are not done just yet, because we are going to experience some clairvoyance in just a moment, because our good friend, the Countess of Claz, is going to read the tea leaves and tell us her first impressions on the Arizona Cardinals, the Patriots' Monday night opponent in Week 14, coming up this Monday night in Glendale, Arizona. We're going to wrap things up here on Locked On Patriots in just a moment when we continue. But, of course, today's show, folks, is brought to you by our friends over at BetOnline.net, your number one source for betting football. Find all of the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, in-depth analysis on every game. You name it, they've got it. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. The fastest, the easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf, is to head to the website today, betonline.net, or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. Patriots fans, the illustrious Claire Clazzy Claire Cooper of Pat's Propaganda and Full Press Coverage Patriots joins me here today to bring us to the midway point in the week. And we've taken our leave of the Buffalo Bills, Claire, at least for the time being. We've put to rest some of those Bill Belichick hot seat rumors, but it wouldn't be a visit from the Countess unless we read a little tea leaves. So that's what we're going to do here now. The clairvoyance is ready to permeate, because we have the all-knowing, all-omniscient, all-powerful sage She's ready to open up the tea leaves, which, by the way, folks, have been hermetically sealed in a tea kettle. They're on the shelf over in Locked On Patriots headquarters. They've been there since last Friday morning. They're ready to be read. And this is what the Countess does here better than anyone. So, oh, great one. When you read the tea leaves this week, the Patriots opponent coming up, the Arizona Cardinals, kind of a disappointing season for them in a very tough division, by the way, with, you know, obviously the San Francisco 49ers, Seattle Seahawks playing well, Los Angeles Rams, well, we won't get into the Rams, but, you know, there's a couple of tough teams in that division, and Arizona's kind of been up and down, but still a dangerous team on both sides of the ball. What do the tea leaves say about the Arizona Cardinals? Please give us a little clairvoyance on the Cardinals, Claire.
Okay, let me just get into sage character here with my Star Wars-like Patriots hoodie. Yes. Let's go over to the dark side. No, I'm joking. Okay.
This is good. Ah, come on. You had that set up perfectly. That was great. I expected Palpatine to pop out from behind you. That would have been really good.
Some animation going on.
Well, good.
But, but seriously, as you like to say, I mean, the Cardinals aren't necessarily a team that the Patriots see very often. So there's always that element of the research book being a little bit thin on these sorts of teams. However, they have, or they are, the NFL's worst red zone defense. Unfortunately, the Patriots aren't necessarily very good red zone offense at the moment. So that might not make any difference at all. And I'm laughing because it's not funny, but it is funny. Because if you don't laugh, you'd cry, wouldn't you, folks? No, but I mean, yeah, you said Cardinals dual threat. Kyler Murray, he's, you know, he makes plays with his arms and his legs because he's kind of so quick, such a scuttlebug with that. Nursing an injury, possibly being out with an injury, I suppose I should say, rather than nursing. But he's, you know, he still had 14 touchdowns this season. So he's definitely a force that they need to be concerned with. See what I did there? A force?
Yep. Yeah.
They've got good, as people like to say, weapons in DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, he's such a versatile player. He's so good. And I mean, I think he's rocked up. Let me just check. Yeah, 574 yards, receiving yards, despite missing games earlier this season. So, you know, the guy's putting up numbers, even not playing the whole season so far. So significant there. And their running back, James Conner, you know, definitely got some strength there. So the Patriots have got plenty that they need to be concerned about when it comes to the Cardinals. Like you said, bit of an up and down team. Could this be one of those games that we go into it thinking, well, they're not looking so bad, and the Patriots are coming off, you know, a rough loss to the Bills, not really expecting much, and then they blow them out the way that they did against like Detroit and stuff like this. So the Patriots are definitely a team at the moment that it's difficult to pin anything on either way, just because we know that they've got weaknesses, but we know that they've got strengths. That's why it's so difficult to really call it at the moment. You know, they've got they do have good players on offense. So if they could pull it together, they've got the capability, they've got those weapons there to scheme something up. But it's execution, and that's where the coaching comes in, as we've already talked about. So it's difficult this season to really see where the Patriots are going. And when you've got a matchup of another team that's kind of a little bit up and down, it's kind of, your guess is as good as mine. Where's this all going to go? So, you know, we could have a low-scoring slogfest. We could have a massive differential between the score. You know, one team could really pull it out of the bag. One team could really fall flat on their face. And at the minute, which team would do that? It's difficult to really pin what's more likely on either side. This is an interesting matchup that I don't think people are going to be able to call very well prior to that. But saying that, I'm going to keep my fingers crossed and sort of believe in my team and think that maybe the Patriots can kind of knit something together just enough to pull out a win. So I've got a 19-14 win for the Patriots.
Excellent.
On Monday night.
And I think a lot of fans would be happy with that, and I think they'll take it at this point. Look, you make a great point about the New England Patriots. They are predictably unpredictable. And I think that's maybe the best way to put it. And I did steal that from my good friend Alex Barth of 98.5 The Sports Hub, who used that to describe Bill Belichick. And I think it's a perfect term to do that. But I really think that it fits this New England Patriots team, because just when you think they're going to zig this year, they zag. You'd look for them to struggle and have difficulties, and they've come up big, or they've come up in moments where you think they will. Obviously, the predictable moment came on Thursday night against the Bills. Most people thought they would have difficulty on both sides of the ball, and they did. This Cardinals team is difficult to read. I'm glad that you mentioned Murray. All indications are that the injury that he had earlier this year should be relatively healed by now. I don't look for that to hamper him too much. But at the same time, it's worth mentioning, and I'm glad that you did, because for someone like Kyler, who loves to utilize his speed, his, you know, his agility, if you got a hamstring injury, that's going to be a difficult situation to work through. So definitely one to keep an eye on there. James Conner breaking out. I thought you made a good point there on him. 125 yards rushing, like you said, against the Chargers in 2 weeks ago. That's huge for the Patriots, who have been fairly good at stopping the run. But, you know, there's always that moment that could always come back to get them. And without Christian Barmore on the lineup, guys like Devon Godchow and, of course, Lawrence Guy have come up big in that situation. They're going to need to continue that as well. But I'm glad that you mentioned red zone futility, because now we're looking at a matchup between two tortoises, basically going back and forth. The Patriots can't get into the red zone. The Cardinals can't stop it. Which one is going to win out? If there is an opportunity for the Patriots to cure their red zone woes and maybe have a get right game in that regard, this might be it. I don't think it's a full get right game for the Patriots, because I don't think right now the Patriots are at the level where they're ready to get right. I think they're still looking for identity, and that's a problem in week 14 of the season. But conversation for another day. If they're going to get right in the red zone, I think this is the game to do it. So, Countess, once again, your clairvoyance has illuminated the Locked On Patriots audience, and we appreciate it. We always love hearing your wisdom and counsel.
Dark side.
And I thank you. Yeah, I kind of like the Palpatine thing I got going there. That's pretty good. That is pretty good. See, Claire's like the before Palpatine. I'm like the after shriveled Palpatine. I'm gonna get a hood myself, so that'll be good, and we'll be able to have that, you know, compare and contrast. But bottom line, I do appreciate you taking the time out, as you always do each and every Wednesday, to join me here on Locked On Patriots. Before I let you go, Claire, please let everyone know where they can find you, interact with you, and what great work you have coming from both platforms, who you make look all that much better.
Oh, thank you so much, Mike. Yeah, as usual, game recap, patspropaganda.com. I always try and spin a little bit of positivity to keep everybody kind of not really down in the... It's very difficult lately when they've had such kind of bad losses to kind of keep that spark going. But I do really try. So I'd be realistic, but I do try and keep it a little bit positive as well. Highlight the positives. So please do go over to patspropaganda.com. You'll find my game recaps. And obviously, Tom Shaw Mellors is back now off being on tour. So the game, the reviews, the Pats Prop reviews, he will take back control of. So please do go over there and check those out for him before the game. And obviously myself after. A Clear Perspective Patriots podcast, as Mike mentioned, full press coverage Patriots. Pretty much every week at the moment, fingers crossed. So there should be one hitting your airwaves, as they like to say, pretty soon. So do keep your sharp eye out for that. So there should be a new episode coming in the next couple of days. So please do keep, as I said, a sharp eye out for that. We're heading to the 50th episode, folks. It's really pretty, it's pretty darn scary actually to think about. But yeah, heading over to 50. And there'll be a Christmas special as well. So please keep an eye on Twitter, the @ClazzyClaire. As you can see below, or @CLAZZYCLAIA. So keep an eye on my Twitter, because I'll fill you in with my Christmas special information and stuff like that. So it's always best to check out the Bird app for me. And don't forget, I'm there for you each and every week with the lovely Steve Ballastrieri and Thomas Murphy at E2GSports.com, for One Patriots Place. So if you fancy a little bit, I'm here, there, and everywhere, folks.
Absolutely. And anytime Claire puts voice to microphone, pen to paper, check it out, folks. It's always top-notch material. Big time congrats on nearly hitting 50. We'll definitely do a little something here on Locked On Patriots to commemorate that. But I say that with big time pride as well. Your show is truly one of the great listens. I do not exaggerate when I say, folks, that it is one of my favorite listens anywhere in podcasting media, not just sports. It really is a fun listen and an informative listen. So be sure to check that out. And always be sure to check out Locked On Patriots wherever you get your podcasts as well. You can download, subscribe to us, follow us on any platform that has audio podcasts, including the Odyssey app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you stay locked into Locked On Patriots. And of course, smash that subscribe button to YouTube. And don't forget, when you do make Locked On Patriots your first listen every day, make your second listen our good friends over at Locked On Sports Today. All of the major news that you need in all the major sports and collegiate sports, including the take of the day, it's all wrapped up in one great package. You cannot ask for more. So download, subscribe to, follow Locked On Sports Today on the Odyssey app, on YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. On behalf of the illustrious Claire Clazzy Claire Cooper of Pat's Propaganda and Full Press Coverage Patriots, I'm Mike DeBate. Continue to stay safe, stay well, be the change you wish to see in the world. Have a great day, everyone.